We're going to take a little diversion from our normal study. We've been studying through the book of Nehemiah, and by God's grace, we'll get back to that study next time. But today, I want us to take a look at an extremely important issue in the life of a believer, and I thought it'd be good to refresh ourselves on this topic here. So as believers, we have a choice to make every day. We can choose to follow the Lord, or we can choose to follow our own desires, meaning that we can become basically live a selfish life, or we can choose to live a selfless life, you know. And we have that choice to make every day of our lives as believers there. So those who have been born again, those who have been given a new life in Christ, we have this choice to make every single day. So when we talk about living this kind of life, we're not talking about a life that just knows what the Bible says. We're talking about a life that does what the book of James talks about, and the life that Jesus commands us to live when he gave us our main job description as his disciples. The book of James, I know you're familiar with this, it says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves." And I want us to think about that for a second. When we think about someone being a mature believer, we probably think about someone who knows a lot of scripture, but the Lord tells us very clearly in James 1:22 that if we just know the word, but we're not doing the word, which means obeying it, then all we're doing is deceiving ourselves. So think about it. A believer can actually live a life of deception. And I think that this is the worst kind of deception, when you deceive yourself. So living the kind of life that is pleasing to the Lord is living a life that is a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And also this new life that the believer is supposed to be living is tied into the commands that Jesus gave us when he gave us our main job description for being his disciples. And that command is found in Matthew 28, verse 20. So if you want to take a look there for a minute, Matthew 20, chapter 28, very last chapter in Matthew. Matthew 28, and we're looking down to verse 20. As the Lord told us in verse 19, to make disciples. In verse 20 it says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you." It doesn't say, "Teach them all things I commanded you," but "teach them to observe," meaning to obey all things that I've commanded you. So this is the great commission here that the Lord gives us. And he's telling us this is a life of obedience that we're supposed to have. So when we talk about living this obedient life, the Lord didn't leave us on our own to try to do this. As New Testament believers, we've been very blessed to have God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. And he's the one who not only helps us to obey the Lord, but he also makes it possible. Because without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to live this life that the Lord calls us to. We'd have a very dismal life and a life of failure. But praise God, every born-again believer in these New Testament times that we're living in has been given this blessed and powerful Holy Spirit living inside of us. But if you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm a New Testament believer and I know I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, but I still seem to be living a pretty dismal life, and actually I feel like my Christian life is pretty much a failure. So why isn't it working for me? Okay, well, that's just what we're going to be looking at today, and help us answer that question. To live this kind of life that's actually pleasing to the Lord simply calls this a life that is walking in the Spirit. And that's what we're going to look at today. Walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. So let's jump into this in Galatians chapter 5. So if you want to turn to Galatians 5. Try to adjust a little bit more if you're turning there. Sorry guys, thanks for bearing with all of these things today. So So in Galatians 5, I want us to look at a few things in this chapter. It's going to describe to us what it really means to be walking in the Spirit. Interesting, in chapter 5, look down to verse 6 a minute. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." But look what it does, what is important. Faith working through love. And he's talking about circumcision because they had some teachers come in that were really pushing Moses, keeping the law of Moses and being circumcised and everything. And Paul's trying to explain them, those are things that are passed away, that are not as important. The New Testament church needs to focus on the Word of God, and our covenant is in Christ. It's not in the Old Testament ritual of circumcision. So it was there to point to Christ. So he's telling them this. This is what's really important. Faith working through love. Okay? Now look down to verse 13 in the same chapter. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." We've been called to freedom, not bondage, which is what he was talking about in last chapter as well. "You have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Okay? So, just looking at those couple of verses in chapter 5 so far, we can see right away that this life of walking in the Spirit has a lot to do with love. And if you notice, it also has to do with faith and with serving one another. Faith here is talking about trusting the Lord, and obedience is a large part of that faith. So if someone says, "Well, I'm trusting the Lord," then that should mean that I'm obeying the Lord in everything He tells me. And it means that you're a doer and not a hearer only. And the serving one another it talks about here means that you're living the life of a servant. So let's start working our way through this passage. We're going to start at verse 16 and take a look at the last section here in chapter 5. So Galatians 5, down to verse 16. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Okay? So it's letting us know you can't do these two things at the same time. I like the way somebody described it. You're going opposite directions. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're looking upward. If you're walking in the flesh, you're looking downward. So the Lord gives us this description here, letting us know you can't do both. Our choice every day is to walk in the Spirit or to walk in the flesh. And the Lord obviously encourages us to walk in the Spirit. Verse 17 says this, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." So it lets us see there's a war going on inside of a believer. But notice the last part of verse 17, because it doesn't end with a period after the phrase "one another" here. It doesn't say, you know, that they're contrary to one another, period. But it says, "so that you do not do the things that you wish." So one of the first questions we can ask ourselves, you know, to see today if I'm walking in the Spirit or am I walking in the flesh, is, am I being selfish today? Am I fulfilling the lusts of my flesh? Meaning I'm doing what I selfishly want to do today. So we see that that's talking about here, who's on the throne of my life? Is it Christ or is it me? You know, so you should be feeling, hopefully we're all feeling a little convicted at this point. You know, like I said, we've got this war going on inside of us, you know, as believers, and very unfortunately, sometimes the flesh wins, you know, if we have to admit the truth. But that's why I think we should look at this today again. Maybe we can greatly reduce how many times the flesh wins this war. So let's go on to verse 18. "But if you are led by the Spirit," and that's part of walking in the Spirit, you're allowing the Spirit to lead you. "If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So the Lord's letting us see here, this walking in the Spirit, it's not obeying a list of rules, okay? And if you're doing this the right way, then we are free from having to check a list of do's and don'ts. So that should be comforting to us, huh? Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, and here's this nasty list of stuff, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, and don't miss the next one here, hatred. And it says contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, it's causing divisions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. It's like the list could go on for quite a while here. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you'll notice a few things about this. One, these all have to do with selfishness. If you read through this list, it's all about the flesh getting what the flesh wants. We're doing anything we want to do as long as it's pleasing to us. And it's just pure selfishness. So all of these have to do with selfishness. Every one of them describes a person who's selfishly doing their own thing. Now, the second thing here is, this is talking about a person whose entire life is characterized by these things. So I'm willing to bet that if you examine each one of these things, then you probably have to admit that maybe you didn't do all of them, but there are probably one or two of them that you probably dabbled in at one time or another. So it's not saying that if you ever touch one of these things, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But it's actually saying that those who practice such things, and that means that if any of these things, they're what's consuming your life, and it's what your life is all about, that's what it's talking about, the ones who are not going to inherit. But when you feel that conviction of reading through that list and thinking, man, I'm afraid I've been there for some of those, and I point out that hatred there because you got this list of such nasty things, and you're going, yeah, that's bad, and all of a sudden it says hatred, and we've all probably had some hatred for somebody in our life. So it's like, whoa, wait a minute, I don't know about some of these. They're getting kind of close to home. We feel that conviction, and it's like, let's not forget, that's where Christ comes in. Because before we were saved, our life was characterized by this very selfish living, and we were totally condemned because of our sin. But praise God, both now and forever, that Christ rescued us from that future. So this verse, verses 19, 21, this shows us the negative side of things, the flesh. But I want us to spend a little more time focusing on the positive side of what it means to walk in the Spirit. So verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So this is the fruit of the Spirit, meaning that this is what the Spirit actually produces in the life of a believer when we're under the Spirit's control. And I think it's important to note here that this is not intended to be a list that you can figure out how to accomplish these things yourself so that you can kind of, you know, check them off and say, well, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. And I mean by that, that I've seen Christians who have tried to turn this into the New Testament list of laws for the believers today. But you can't work these things into existence. These are things that only the Holy Spirit can produce in us as we're submitting to His leadership, moment by moment in our lives. So don't try to work up a way to do these things in your own life, because you'll be totally defeating the purpose of what the Lord is trying to do in our lives. And let's meditate on these elements here, the fruit of the Spirit, for a minute. And I got this information we're going to look at now from a website that's called gotquestions.org. And it's a very good website for Christians to go to. It can be very helpful in studying a great number of topics and issues that come up in the life of a believer as we're trying to grow in the Lord. So it says in this article, number one here, and it's using these elements of the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22 and 23 there. It says, those who walk in the Spirit walk in love, meaning that they live in love for God and love for the fellow man. And those are the two greatest commands. And it fits here that this is what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. So when we can ask ourselves this question, you know, am I walking in love today? If I'm not walking in love, you know, if I'm not actively ministering to folks or praying for folks or, you know, interested in other people, loving the Lord, praising Him, if I'm not doing that, then I'm not walking in the Spirit today. The second one is, those who walk in the Spirit walk in joy. So they exhibit gladness in what God has done, what He is doing, and what He will do. Okay, and that's important to understand that part too. The third one here, those who walk in the Spirit walk in peace. They live worry-free, and they refuse anxiety. Now, I want you to see something in Philippians chapter 4. If you turn forward a few pages there, Philippians chapter 4. And by the way, Philippians has this great section on the peace of God and how believers can enjoy the peace of God. Philippians 4, if you look down to verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And look at the result of this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So those who walk in the Spirit, they're able to walk in peace. So, again, we can ask ourselves this question about any of these things on this list, or, you know, any one of them. We can say, am I living this way? Am I doing this? You know, am I walking in God's peace? Or am I living in the constant state of worry? If I am, then I'm not walking in the Spirit today. So, again, this is a good check on us to say, am I doing this or not? The fourth one here says, those who walk in the Spirit walk in patience. Now, they're known for having a long fuse, and they do not lose their temper. Now, guys, we've got to be careful with how we use this information. This is for examining ourselves, which means that we should be asking ourselves the question, am I walking in the Spirit today, or am I walking in the flesh? And we've got to be extremely careful in this and not use this passage to beat up other Christians, because if we do that, then we're obviously not walking in love, which means that we're not walking in the Spirit ourselves. You know, if we say that it's going to badger somebody today and constantly tell them, are you walking in the Spirit today? You know, now that's not to say that there might be a time where it's an appropriate question to ask. You know, sometimes our spouse might need to remind us, but it's never meant to beat someone into submission, right? I said, right? You know, yeah. The fifth one here, those who walk in the Spirit walk in kindness, which I wasn't kind a second ago, but those who walk in the Spirit walk in kindness. They show tender concern for the needs of others. And you notice that most all these things here have to do with others. That's why I like our other shirts, because they're a good reminder to us that we're here to serve others, we're to praise God and serve others, you know, and love the Lord. The sixth one, those who walk in the Spirit walk in goodness. That means their actions, they reflect virtue and holiness. And unfortunately, we're seeing much less of this in the world today. And you know, as believers, if we're living for the Lord, then people should see these things in us if we're walking in the Spirit. And they should be able to say, wow, that person's different. What's going on? We should be living and walking in that goodness where people are seeing the virtue and the holiness of the Lord. It's not our virtue, no, it's the Lord. Those who walk in the Spirit, the seventh one here, they walk in faithfulness. They're steadfast in the trust of God and His Word. And guys, if we're doing this one right, then it means we look like Christians. And when people see how you live, they can honestly say, I think that guy or that lady must be a Christian, just by what I see in their life, because they're living a life of faithfulness. The eighth one here is those who walk in the Spirit walk in gentleness. So their lives are characterized by humility, they're characterized by grace, and they're characterized by thankfulness to God. I thought that was a really good list when you think about what it means to really walk in gentleness. And again, these are not a list of saying, okay, I got to do this, I got to do this. It's simpler than us making a list and having to do this. We'll talk about that in a second. Now, the ninth one, the last one's listed here, those who walk in the Spirit walk in self-control. They display moderation, they display constraint, and the ability to say no to the flesh. Now, by the way, this is why some of the crazy stuff that comes through supposedly Christian churches is proven to not be of the Lord. Things like the Holy Laughter movement, or the Being Drunk in the Spirit movement. Guys, this is the fruit of the Spirit that we're seeing here. Self-control being this one here, it almost is so subtle at the end, but it's extremely important. This fruit of the Spirit, all of this that we've seen, it should help us Christians to have discernment. So we need to use these things. The fruit of the Spirit, you know, the Spirit's in us, and He wants us to grow and gain in this area. So it looks like discernment is unfortunately missing today in a lot of Christians. Christians are known for being the most gullible people who will fall for almost anything, and that's true if we don't develop good discernment in spiritual things. And I found that the fruit of the Spirit is extremely helpful in doing this. So I like their summary they had in this article here in that website, and here's what it said. Those who walk in the Spirit rely on the Holy Spirit to guide them in thought, word, and deed. And look at Romans 6 for a second here. We'll be back to Galatians in a minute here, so we'll be back. But Romans chapter 6. And again, I know it's a familiar passage to you. As far as relying on the Holy Spirit, you know, to guide us in thought, word, and deed. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's what it means. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And this tells us something important here. We have sin that wants to reign in our life. So there's part of that warfare. In verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And we're so, so thankful the Lord has us under His grace right now. And that article, it went on to say that those who walk in the Spirit show forth daily, moment by moment, holiness, just as Jesus did when it says in Luke chapter 4 that right after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, he was immediately filled with the Spirit, and it says he left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and that was to be tempted. So even that reminds us that when the Spirit is leading us and we obediently follow His leading, that there might be some things that we are led to do that may not be pleasant at all. But that's okay, because there are great rewards for being obedient. And we long to hear these words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now we're going to go back to Galatians 5 for just a little bit more here. In Galatians 5, verse 24, it says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So this is a spiritual truth in verse 24. You might not feel like this is true in your life, but it doesn't matter if you feel this way or not. What matters is that this is true to the Lord, and we simply need to accept this as a true spirituality in our life. So we can truthfully say, based on this verse, that I am Christ's, I belong to Him, and I have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. But you might be saying to yourself, well, I wish that were true of my life, but I'm not seeing it. In that case, you know, you need to just keep on obeying the Lord, doing everything He tells you in His Word to do, and you need to keep trusting in the power of His Holy Spirit to get you there. because this is true. It's a true spiritual fact. Being in our practical living, we have to maybe continue to walk until all of a sudden the day comes when you look back and you're amazed at how the Lord has brought this, brought you this far in your walk with the Lord. So verse 25 in Galatians 5, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So this verse, it shows us this should just be common sense for the believer. It just makes sense that every believer should be walking in the Spirit. And that's such an important message for us in America because we're so independent. We unfortunately, a lot of times, treat the Word of God like it's a buffet line. We take what we want and we leave some stuff we don't want. But the Lord's telling us here, this is what should be expected of every believer. This makes sense that since we live in the Spirit, that's where our new life in Christ comes from, let us also walk in the Spirit. Then verse 26 says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And you might say, well, what in the world does this verse have to do with walking in the Spirit? But you notice it gives a very sharp contrast because everything in this verse has to do with selfishness. And as we said before, selfishness is the opposite of walking in the Spirit. And when it comes to walking in the Spirit, it all boils down to one word, surrender. You can't walk in the Spirit if you are not surrendering to the Holy Spirit. And when we totally surrender to the Spirit with nothing held back, then we can be filled with the Spirit that's totally under the Spirit's control. And that's when the Lord can really get things done in our Christian walk. So guys, hopefully this study was helpful to you today. I know it was short. I apologize for that, guys. It's been a long week with the wedding and everything we had going on. So I'm sorry, guys, I didn't have more. We'll get back, Lord willing, to our regular study next time. But, you know, guys, I heard a pastor say this one time. He said, if every believer would just walk in the Spirit all the time, it'd sure lessen the number of counseling sessions that I have to do with folks. And guys, we have to realize that we just naturally have a rebellious nature, you know, because we're all sinners. So having to surrender is like swimming upstream against our own pride. But surrendering to the Holy Spirit is the only way to truly walk in the Spirit. And it cannot be accomplished in the flesh. It'll never happen. So don't make a list. Say, I'm going to check it off today. I'm going to try to love somebody. I'm trying to have some joy today and peace. No, it's to the point. It's a lot simpler, like I said. You simply have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I confess that to you. I'm saved. I have the Holy Spirit in me. But I've not been letting you lead me, Lord. I've been trying to be the boss and lead myself and living in the flesh. So, Lord, help me each day to be reminded that I need to say, Lord, help me walk in the Spirit today. Help me to surrender to you. So, remember, it can't be accomplished in the flesh. I don't even try that. So we're going to end our study here today. Then we'll close our service after worship. And I'll ask Dave to close us in prayer, if he would, after our worship time. But we'll go ahead and go to that. Now, if somebody is watching today and they never received Jesus, they don't know that Jesus is the Savior that they really need in their life, I pray today that you would open your heart. Jesus loves you very much. He died on the cross to pay for your sins, and he paid for them completely. And he died a real death on the cross. So he gave his life that he might be able to be our sacrifice. He paid for our sins. And after he paid for them, he was buried, he died. And they buried him, and then 3 days later he was raised from the dead. And that was proving that the Father accepted his sacrifice for you and for me. So if you don't know Jesus, I would tell you to please cry out to the Lord right now, because Jesus died for you. He shed his blood. He went through a lot to pay for your sin. And if you don't know that or haven't received him yet, today would be the day to just take time and talk to the Lord and say, Jesus, I thank you that you died for my sins, and you paid for them completely, and I believe you were raised from the dead. And spend some time thinking on that, because this is a very important issue It's what's going to happen to you for eternity, whether you spend eternity with God or not. So you need to make sure you get this straight. And today would be a good day to take that in. So if you can, spend time with the Lord. I'm going to close this portion in prayer, and then we'll go to worship. Let's pray, guys. Father, I thank you so much for the chance you give us to get into your word. And Lord, I know walking in the Spirit is such an important issue for believers. And we've looked at this before, Lord, a couple of times. But Lord, you keep calling us back to say, we need to do this. As Christians, we can't trust in ourselves. We're selfish. Even if we could do something, we check it off the list and pat ourselves on the back, Lord. But you're the one who's done everything for us. You paid for our sins. Father, you gave us the opportunity to be filled with your Spirit as we just surrender to you. And Lord, you do things in our life then as we follow you. Lord, please help us to be humble before you and to follow you and not try to lead, but to stay out of the way, Lord, and let you lead and give us the grace to follow there. So thank you for this day. Thank you for your word of truth. Thank you for everybody who's going to get a chance to hear this study. I pray you really speak to everybody's heart and encourage them, Father. We need to be such examples in these days we're in, and let that light shine through us. And if we're not walking in the Spirit, the light is not shining very bright. And the world needs to see what Jesus is like. And Lord, that's you as the Holy Spirit works through our lives. They can see that. So Father, please make that a reality in us. And please have great mercy on people. And we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to get to speak with you and hear from you. So we give you all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.